that means that it's time for the Garden Talk. We have Mardell and Via.
That's familiar music.
It is familiar music. And I've seen ground.
I know it is. You can almost turn the ground.
It's muddy, that's for yeah, sure, it but it's there.
It actually is not a good idea to be turning the ground at this point because it is muddy.
It's,
yeah,
and it's that's a mess.
It's a good way to destroy your soil is to turn it when it's too mucky and too muddy. But that's another conversation today. We have Via here today, and you know, we have talked about doing a Facebook page for years, and what it takes is somebody to say, I'll do it.
I'll do that.
And she did. She did.
So you the one, huh?
Yeah.
Not just me, but yeah.
So we have a Facebook page, and so tell us about that, Via, and how it can be used and all of this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, so the Facebook page is called Haynes Gardening Group, so keep that in mind. But it's an online community forum for gardeners in and around this area to connect experienced gardeners with new gardeners or anyone that wants to be part of the community. And it's a place to pose questions and share solutions, tips, and announce upcoming events. You can
go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great place to share favorite varieties, which right now there's a...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that actually a little bit, is varieties. But I want to go back to one of the things that I think it could be really helpful for is in the middle of the season, for example, I don't know, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, everybody had a thrip problem. And I was thinking that I was the only one on the universe that had thrips coming out of my ears.
Thrips.
And so I started talking to people and realized that everybody was having a thrip problem that year. And I think this could be really helpful in for me and for everybody just to recognize that, oh, this is not a problem in my garden only, but that it's something that's in the
area.
Mm-hmm. So it could be helpful in that.
And to come up with great creative solutions.
Exactly. You know, what's working for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the idea of posting articles. Every once in a while I come across an article on Facebook that I think, oh, this is really fascinating, whether it be something creative or whether it be information, but to post that is also
Nice. It's a great venue for that. Also, there's a couple documents. You can load documents onto the site, and at the top of that Facebook page for, again, the Haynes Gardening Group, you can always access those documents instead of having to scroll all the way through. So there's some variety lists.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So at the top, you can actually, so there are some documents like Melissa's.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the ones that Melissa had put variety lists?
Yeah.
So at the top of the page, you can access it without having to find.
That's what I've seen when I log on. Yeah, at the top, there's a couple different headers, and one is documents. You go there, and there's just a list of documents that have been uploaded. Yeah.
And maybe what we should do for Facebook novices, it might be worthwhile to say that if you join the group, you need to hit the little thing that says join this group. Then you have access to that. And then when somebody posts on that group, it's going to come into your news feed that somebody posted. And so, for example, if you want, like last night, I posted a bunch of my favorite varieties. And I would really encourage people to do that so that we can get an interchange going of, oh, so-and-so likes these tomato varieties or whatever. And so when somebody does that, that's going to come into your news feed that somebody has posted once you've joined that group. So
that's
how it works. So.
I love technology.
Yeah.
Isn't it
I'm not good at it, but I love it.
So
there's also events posted on the page, which is helpful.
Nice.
So right now listed is the May 13th Friends of Haynes Recycling Plant Sale.
Yep.
But you know, if anyone else has other events or you know, it's something for us all to share and you could kind of common space for that.
Yeah, it's just a great meeting place instead of having to have meetings, which we did just the other night. But it's just a great online meeting place. So, speaking of that meeting that we had the other night, we did a seed exchange as one of the things that we did. And as always, when gardeners get together, one of the things that we always want to talk about is what grows really well for you. And so, like we just mentioned, Melissa Aronson has started a list of varieties. And these are mostly her favorites with a few others that she's put in. And we're going to, it would be really tedious if we just went over this whole list. So we're not going to go over the whole list. But we're going to mention a few kind of whetting your appetite so that you go onto that Facebook page and say, oh, I can look at this. And like I said, I just posted some of my favorites last night, and I encourage everybody to do that as well. So, okay, let's beans. Beans is one thing that I'll talk about varieties.
Beans, the wonderful fruit.
That's
all I know.
Well, so there's a bush bean, and those that are listed are good for this community or for this climate is Gold Rush, Royal Burgundy, Red Swan, and my favorite is Maasai. Maasai to me has been much more mold resistant than others. And then there is pole beans, which are need a trellis. And my favorite of that is Vortex. But Melissa has listed Blue Lake and French Filet and Bountiful. And she has Provider. I think of Provider as being more of a bush bean. But anyway, those are the ones that are listed. And add to it. So do you have any?
Yeah, well, we could talk about peas too.
Okay.
Looks like sugar snap peas, which I've grown, and I think maybe you added that. Mm-hmm. Those are great. Mm-hmm. Green arrow.
Green arrow are a shelling pea, my personal favorite, but other people have different ones.
Oregon snow, Oregon sugar, avalanche for pods, pioneer of Dakota for shelling, and tall telephone, and those are all to put in the ground after it's workable. In March.
Tall telephone. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. And they do. They grow tall.
Like a telephone pole.
Which that tends to be the case with, I grow the same peas that my mom grew in Minnesota, and hers stayed fairly close to the ground. Mine grow 8-9 feet tall. Mm. And I'm convinced it's just because we have so much light and they like it here.
And you give them so much love.
Yes, that's it. That's true.
Mardell, when do you put peas in the ground?
Well, you know, I do it a little unusual. I plant at least half of my peas in soil blocks. I don't know of anybody else who starts their peas out of the ground. But the reason I do that is because being up the highway, I can't get mine in quite as early as people here in town. And so I can extend my pea season I have them about 3 inches high when I put them in. So I sprout them in my blocks and then I plant them that way. And then at the time that I put those transplants in, I plant some in the ground as well. So it extends my pea season. But as peas are something that you can put in the ground as soon as you can work your soil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're very early. They don't mind cold. And the key is that they will also rot in the ground if you get them in there too early, because that's one of the reasons that I transplant mine is that I don't like the chance that they're going to rot in there.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Let's do one other. Cucumber. That's one that a lot of people are interested in. Mostly you need to grow cucumbers in a greenhouse here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess there's a few people that might be successful in getting it on the outside of a wall or something. But so I'll tell you my favorites are Vitina, which is kind of a larger pickling cucumber, Sweet Success, Diva, and then if you want a novelty cucumber, I grow Lemon. They are very prolific.
I like those, too.
They're really tasty.
And they ripen nicely,
they do.
Too, just
yep.
the size. Mm-hmm.
Yep, those are a nice one. And Market More is another one that Melissa has on her list that I've never grown, but other people have.
Now, do you order these seeds? Or are they available locally? Or
A few of them probably are available locally at the hardware store, but if you want a specialty seed, most of them I order. And I have, you know, I find that I have to go to Johnny's for this seed and I have to go to Territorial for this seed. It gets rather complex, and that's the advantage of having friends that are you doing a Johnny's order this year, or are you doing a, you know, so again, Facebook could really help with that.
Yep. Right. Share that. There's also Found Root in town.
That's right. Yep. Exactly.
They've got varieties to check out.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, that's enough on the whole varieties. Go to that Facebook page and let's have an interchange of what our favorites are.
Yeah, so. That's Haynes Gardening Group.
Yeah,
Haynes Gardening Group.
So
very descriptive.
Indeed.
May I also quickly mention the gardener swap like program, that there's been some talk and want to have a gardening swap where you pair new gardeners with experienced gardeners to gain some knowledge, maybe reap some of the bounty, and then also experienced gardeners get some manual labor, which is really helpful because gardening can be a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And that's also on the Haynes Gardening Group if people want to participate with that.
Okay.
So yeah, cool. I think that would be an awesome thing. You know, there are days in the summer that I would love to have some help. And I've had a lot of people say that they'd like to come out and help for a day or so. But it's hard to make those connections without a venue to do that. So it could be a great way to do it. So, yeah. Great.
Great.
Thanks, Via.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So I think we've got a little bit of time left to actually address some questions. So
Mardell, why is my soil pH important?
It is a good question. So first of all, I will say about pH is that it is very important. But the good thing is that most plants are going to tolerate a fairly wide range of pH. It's when you have a very acidic soil or a very alkaline soil that you need to be doing something about it and be aware of it. So with the exception of there's a few plants that need acidic soil, and like blueberries, rhododendrons, azaleas, and potatoes. Potatoes will actually grow in other soils, but you have problems like I do of scab if you have too alkaline of a soil. Most of Alaska has too acidic of soil. My property is one of the rare exceptions to that. But most of Alaska, so more than likely, you will have too, on the acidic side, maybe I shouldn't say too acidic the soil, but you will have on the acidic side. And the reason for that, one of the reasons for that, is because we get a lot of rain. And rain leaches out the calcium and magnesium in our soil, and it's replacing it with aluminum and iron. And that aluminum and iron, there's all sorts of scientific cations, how this all happens. I'm going to let you research that yourself. But the gist of it is that you need that calcium and magnesium in your soil to create a more alkaline pH. So.
And that could be one of the reasons that baking soda is helpful in a garden.
It is. Soil. That's a temporary thing. So if you need to change your pH, probably the best thing to do is just to consistently add organic matter. Compost, shredded leaves. That's a slow route to go, but it's the surest, best route to go, is just to always keep, every year, keep be adding. And you're going to make it more neutral. You're going to bring an acidic soil more alkaline, and you're going to take an alkaline and bring it more acidic.
So it buffers?
It buffers it, basically. But some information that I really want to get out there that I think is important is in answer to your question, Via, why is this important? Basically, pH is... it's the soil solution, which is a mixture of the water and the nutrients in the soil. And if it is too acid or too alkaline, some nutrients are not going to dissolve in that water solution. So if you you can have all of the nutrients you want in your soil, but if your plant roots can't access it, it doesn't do any good. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I want people to know is, so if you have below a 6... in pH, some of the nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are less available. And then when your pH exceeds 7.5, which is on the alkaline side, what you need to look for as deficiencies are iron, manganese, and phosphorus. So those are just guides to...
Right. And I did see a test kit, a soil test kit at the hardware store the other day when I was there.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to diss them completely, but the one thing that I have read and experience of anecdotally people say is that they're reliably inaccurate.
Okay.
I've heard that.
Yeah. So use them with a grain of salt. You know, they can be good at giving you a general idea, but don't use them for specifics. So
all right.
So let's see. The best thing to do is to get a pH or to get a soil test.
Oh, send it into
the... send it in to Brookside or another company. They're $20, and that's going to be the best way.
And how about the extension service? Do they do toast?
No, they don't. They'll recommend, I think, a lab, but they don't do it themselves. So.
Okay, so we have just a half a minute left. What can we do this time of year? What is the most important thing to do this time of year?
Plan what you're going to put in your garden.
Yay!
And actually, next, I think the next show we're going to actually talk about some of that, of how to plan for succession and rotation and what we should actually be planning to put in our garden. So,
all right. Yeah. Okay. Facebook. Look for Facebook.
Yeah. Look for Haynes Facebook.
Gardening Group.
Yeah. Haynes Gardening Group.
Thanks for doing that, Via.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much.
Right. Okay.
All nothing but good news here
Happy
today.
Gardening.
Happy gardening.